Bell ain't very loud. You may be seated. It don't look like y'all like each other. It's good to have good fellowship. I always enjoy that. All right. Let's open with a little word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here with you this morning, to come to worship you and to praise you and offer you all the glory and all the praise, and to come to thank you for the gift of salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask that we, each and every one, are conscious about your presence here today, about the words in the songs, and the words in the scripture, and the message, and that we lay away all the cares and the worries of this world and concentrate upon you. Yes. This we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have two songs on the board this morning for because of other different things. We are going to sing Just Amazing Grace 343 for saving a little time this morning. So 343, stand as we sing, please.
May the children come. Very good. I was caught off a little guard because I'm used to there being two songs. It did. It tricked me. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Bless you, Travis. God bless you. Come on, little man. How are you? There we go. All right. What'd you bring? You brought me something?
No.
I don't think so. You ate them all? I understand. Did you guys have a good week?
Yeah.
Well, good. No trick-or-treating this week. Yes. No birthdays. But we probably had some leftover candy, didn't we? Yes.
I have my own motorcycle now.
Get out. A motorcycle?
Seriously.
Do you wear a helmet?
No. Kids.
Oh, it's a kid motorcycle? Well, please be careful for me, will you?
It's a police one.
Because we love you and want to see you back next week. Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. That's cool. Hey, we're going to play a little memory game. We did it last week, and we're going to keep doing it for a while. I think it's a good way to remember what we talked about. A few weeks ago, we talked about God giving us special gifts. Each of us has special gifts. You guys remember that one. What are some of the special gifts? Yeah.
Basketball, dancing, snapping.
Boy, you remember a lot of the things I did. It must have left an impression, and maybe not in the good way. That's right. God gave us all special gifts. All right, and then last week we talked about God giving us a spiritual gift, a physical gift that he gave everyone. Do you remember what that was? Yeah. It's right here. What?
The Bible.
That's right, it's the Bible. So God gives us lots of gifts. Today I want to talk about another gift that God gave each one of us. God, and we talked about this last week, what's this called? A compass. It helps show us the way to go when we're lost. And we can use the Bible. Travis, we can use the Bible as a guide when we're lost, just like a compass. But God gave us a different type of compass. He gave us a moral compass. You can think of it as in your head. He told us and he built each one of us with an inherent gift to know what's right and what is wrong. And that's something every one of us has, moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandparents, great-grandparents, your friends at school, everybody inherently knows right from wrong. And can you think of a time when he has told you right from wrong? Think about it. When your brother might make you a little upset, you know you're not supposed to hit him. You know that is wrong. And when you do something that's wrong, you feel bad, right? Sometimes we get that feeling and we maybe start to cry a little bit because we know we made our parents mad, but you know you made Jesus mad. So sometimes we need to stop and think about that moral compass. It's what's inside. It's what's inside our head and what's inside our heart.
You should think before you do something.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. And I was just getting ready to say that. So here is an advertisement from our wildlife, and it's a spotlight on our own Caden Jones. And Caden talks about how he's gotten closer to God and what it means. And one of the things he says, and you were exactly right, when I'm about to do something I probably shouldn't be doing, I ask myself, would God want me to do this? And what do you think the answer is?
No.
Well, sometimes it's yes and sometimes it's no. But he is exactly right. And it's something we should think about because in our hearts, and in our mind, we know right from wrong.
And you think about something when you're wrong about something or if you're right about it.
Right. So next time you get upset or you're about to do something wrong, think about what would God do and know that God is in your heart and in your head to do the right thing. Can we say a little prayer before you go back?
Yeah.
All right, let's say a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, this wonderful fall cool day, and we think about you all the time, and we give thanks for the special gifts that you've given all of us. You've given us individual gifts, and you've given all of us the same gifts that we can share with each other and talk about. Please help us know right from wrong. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Hold on.
We got something to do.
Oh, you got something to do? Well, this is exciting. I'm going to go back in the choir, and I can't wait to see what you guys do.
But looking, got a big bucket. Over. You got something in there for somebody?
For the veterans.
I know. I'm just asking him. He's sitting in there. We're going to recognize the veterans today. When are we going to do the flag and stuff? When we? After me. Okay, I just want to double check. Want to get done with. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to recognize all the veterans. So I'm already standing up. I'm a veteran. And so with other veterans all stand up. Yeah. What did you serve in? What did you serve in?
Army.
Army. Okay.
Army.
Huh? Army. I'm outnumbered. I'm Navy. There. Stand and sit up a minute. They got something for you.
How does Army work between Army and Navy?
Huh? Sometimes. Except when they play the football game. I still think Navy holds the record for the most wins. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Can you give me five? Attaboy. Just give him a hand, Reba. Okay, now we're going to do the pledges. Huh? You're going to do that. Okay. All right. I'll get that you.
Okay. I'll ask the boys to come up this morning that's going to help with this. We have Caden Jones, and we have Colin Jones, and we have Jeb. Do you need a bottle? That's my bottle right there. Okay, all stand there. We'll have your pledges to the flags in the Bible. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Next is the Christian flag. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with the living for all who believe. And next we have a pledge to the Bible. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and will hide his word in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Thank you, boys. Okay, you
my turn.
Get that, your turn.
Now this is time we go to the Lord together in prayer. I'm going to do, and I like what Warren does. We're going to, when we go, give you a few moments of silent meditation to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. You need to speak to him, something personal or something, you know, you got going on in you or something you want to pray for some individual. And so give you those moments and then I will close the prayer. So let's go to the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all the many great, wonderful things that you do for us, and the things that you will continue to do, and to thank you especially for the gift of eternal life that you've given us in your Son, that how he came and showed that great, magnificent love to us. We thank you, Father, for the veterans, those that are here, those all throughout the country. We thank you for those and even those that are still serving because they help maintain this great nation that you've given us and help maintain the liberties which you've given us. And we know that we owe all that we have in this nation to you as we look back in history and see the godly men and women that fought for this country and brought it to what it is, and to keep it where it is. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for this church. And we thank you for the fellowship. We thank you for the love for one another. And we do that because you asked us to do it and because we have the love of your Son in our hearts. And help us always to show love to one another and to those out in the world and around us, though we may disagree on some things, but we've come together to understanding that we respect each other. And we pray, Father, for those on our prayer list, those that need your tender, loving care, those that need a healing hand, that you would work in their lives. And above all, let them know of your presence in their lives and your tender watching over. And be with us as we go through this service now, as we listen to the songs, the words in them, that we really truly mean them as we sing them. And as we listen to the message today, that we'll take that to heart and understand that it comes from your Son directly. And all that we do and say now, we do it to your glory and honor as we do it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Okay, the offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 804. Stand as we sing, please.
I love a church with good music. Y'all got good music. I just, I should say, the last church I had, I was there almost 5 years, but they had no choir. Music was kind of, wasn't there. It was hard to get going at the end, after I retired from there, and then I ended up with that interim at an ex-Methodist church. They, you know, pulled out. They had a choir, It wasn't real big. They only had like seven in the choir, but boy, they were powerful, and they got me going. And I told them once, I said, y'all got more spirit in that Baptist church I came from. No problem here. And I've started, I'm hoping to do it each Sunday now. Hope you got an outline there. if you need it and want it, make notes as you do, that's fine. If you don't, you talk about notes for sermons. Years ago, I don't know if you have you for me, I've told some of you this before, but Dr. Adrian Rogers, that was pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church for many years. I've had the pleasure of being to his church twice, and of course, met him and talked to him several times and done his Bible studies and different things. But he was talking to a lady one day, and she told him she had made notes, had notes on every sermon he'd ever preached. And he said, well, what have you done with them? She says, I've got them all stuck in drawers at home. And he says, lady, don't you know that's a fire hazard? An inactive church member had become critically ill with a heart attack. He inherited $10,000 from a deceased relative. His wife, thinking the shock of the good news might cause undue excitement, asked the pastor to break the news as gently as possible. Brother Jones, the pastor explained, I know you have never tithed or given much to the church, but God has been good to you anyway. He has given you a $10,000 inheritance. Great, replied Jones. That means I can give a $1,000 tithe to the church next Sunday. You guessed it, the pastor had a heart attack. The world says enjoy. Be happy. The rich fool said in the scriptures, eat, drink, and be merry. Forget your troubles. Turn your back on them. The whole of life seems to be pleasure-driven mania. That's what, you know, pleasure-seeking. You should get away from the idea of mourning. Laugh, and the whole world laughs with you. Cry, and you cry alone. Jesus said we should be grieving. He said there is happiness in sorrow. He said there is comfort in crying. He said there is gladness in grief. And he said there is bliss in being brokenhearted. So Matthew 5:4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There is the wrong kind of mourning. And we need to eliminate those ideas about mourning that Jesus does not teach. Depression because of the world situation. I guess you can think about the world situation. It's easy to be depressed. We look at what's going on with people after Israel. Look at Russia's after Ukraine. And we see what Iran is doing. We see what Russia's doing. We see what North Korea's is going to try to do. And so, and then all the other different situations going on. You could be depressed about that, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. There could be disappointment because of material failure. Maybe you didn't get as much or make as much as you wanted to, or have all the stuff that you wanted. You didn't get as big a car as you wanted, or as big a boat as you wanted, or big a house as you wanted. You feel bad about that, or you didn't make as much as your neighbor. He's not talking about that. Bitterness because of injured pride. You ever get your pride injured? I knew. I'm just going to call him Billy D. Was a member of church when I was at River Shore Baptist Church in Portsmouth years ago. He had what you call a sour spirit. He was bitter. I don't know what it was. It must involve, he just didn't care much for the church itself and for the church family. The first time I was there and I went out visiting with him one afternoon, and I've probably mentioned this before, but he said, "Look out, preacher, they're going to stab you in the back." "Now, who's going to stab me in the back?" "They're going to stab you in the back, preacher." He was talking about the church. And he was disruptive. He was always bringing up problems. And finally, he called a business meeting for something, and I told him, "Don't do that." And then when he called right after church, Sunday morning, right, call a business meeting right there in the sanctuary. And somebody said, "Who called this business meeting?" And they said, "He did, and why?" "We've already done that. That was over and done with, meet and gone. That was the last we saw him." But he just had that bitterness, that sour spirit. We should not be like him. We should not be bitter or injured. I'm sure his pride had been damaged somewhere along the way because the church didn't always agree with what he wanted to do. Grief because of discovered sin. Sorry because you got caught. Do you know how many are in jail today? They're sorry. They're not sorry for what they did. They're sorry because they got caught and because they're being punished. They haven't repented. Judas. Look at Judas himself. He was sorry after what he did, his discovered sin. What did he do? He hung himself. Self-pity. Feeling sorry for yourself. I call that, my uncle used to call it pity party. Feeling sorry for yourself, down. But it's something deeper and more meaningful than depression, bitterness, disappointment, grief, or self-pity that Jesus is talking about. Happy is the person whose heart bleeds for the sorrow of others. These are the kind of folks who care for others. You think about the persons in need. It would be family, friends, neighbors, church members, or whoever. You know, you care for them. You feel for what they're going through. These are the compassionate folks. Their lives are dedicated to the cause of others. There are some great people in history who was like that. One was Mother Teresa. And all the work she did in India. Albert Schweitzer, some years ago. And then Stanley Livingston. I got to go through some of the area in Tanzania where he had been. And I saw some of the reflection of him having been there some years ago. But there was a movie made with him, about him. And I saw him in there directing the folks had the singing. They were singing, and he was giving it this when they were singing. You know, that's what I saw when I was going to these different churches and groups there in Tanzania. And they get up there and lead the church and sing, and they would start in that pumping stuff, and I thought, right exactly where it come from. But these are examples of the compassionate. Christianity is caring. It's caring for one another. Caring especially for the lost. That's part of the problem. I think we've got a lot of our churches and with Christians today. They don't have a burning desire and for the lost. We need to understand what it is it means to be lost. Where is a lost person going? Where were you going before you found Jesus? And we need to be caring about that. Happy are those whose hearts burn for the sins of the world. The seriousness of sin. How serious is sin? It took the loveliest life in the world and smashed it on a cross. That's because God sent his son into the world to die for us, for our sin. Some people wink at it, think, oh, you know, that's not so important. But that's how much it means to God, is to send his only begotten son to die for it. The sins of the world are horrible. Some people, we're not basically bad and all this other stuff. All you got to do is turn on the news, look at a newspaper, listen to the radio, or just see what's going on out in the street. Shooting, stabbing, raping, all kinds of stuff. Robberies. Over some parts of the world over there, still the Muslims, they're still beheading Christians. The sins of the world are horrible. Jesus' example of sorrow for the sins of others. He came and died because he cared for our sins. He was a man who was acquainted with sorrow. He's called the man of sorrows in the scriptures, in Isaiah. The man of sorrows. He wept. He wept over the loss of a friend. He wept over Jerusalem, and he knew what was going to happen to Jerusalem. He wept over the sins of the world and for the spiritual blindness that caused sin. We should mourn for the shame in the streets, the greed in the marketplace. You got to be careful what you do and buy, and who you deal with at times. But this greed, the violence of the nations, as is mentioned about the wars and conflicts that are going on and have always been going on in this world at one time or another. And of course, as I said a minute ago, the lost in the world. Happy are those who are brokenhearted for their own sin. This is the kind of sorrow that precedes repentance. Peter's sermon at Pentecost, and he preached the message to the people, and they asked Peter at the end, "What shall we do?" Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Sorrow is a continual trait of the Christian. We should always feel sorry for the things we had done. Now, the guilt should be removed because knowing we've been forgiven. But I know sometimes I think about some of the things I did way back and I thought, why did I do that? I know you've forgiven me, Lord, but forgive me again. So think about that continually. The attitude of the Christian should be like that of the publican. You remember that Jesus told about the publican and the Pharisee in the temple? Pharisee over there, "Thank you, Lord, I'm not like that character over there in the corner. Thank you." That character over in the corner, probably, what was he doing? His head bowed and pounding on his chest. "Lord, forgive me for the sinner I am." And as it says in the scripture, then Jesus said, the Pharisees' worship was rejected. And the publicans was received. We should have that attitude. The attitude of David, Psalms 51:3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." That's a man after God's own heart. There's a need for examination of one's life. We need to always be examining ourselves. There's a need to examine the principles from within us. One, what is it in me that makes me behave like this? You think about that, something you do something and say, why in the world did I do that? I know better. Sometimes I think it's like it said, open mouth before you put your brain in gear. My father-in-law used to have an expression. He was killed years ago in an automobile accident, but we've been married about 3 years. But he always used to say, don't let your alligator mouth overload your hummingbird tail. So what is it that makes you do that? Why should I be irritable? If you get irritable, why are you irritable? Why should I be bad-tempered? I've known some people that really has some bad tempers. And I'll tell you what, I've got a son that's got a bad temper, and I'm going to tell you something. He didn't get it from me, and he didn't get it from his mama. I think he got it from his grandfather, who he never knew, the one that was killed in the automobile. And he didn't get it from my dad, because my dad was just as easy going. My dad was 6'5½", big man. But to all the ladies in the church, he was a big teddy bear to hug. But why would I have a bad temper? Why am I not able to control myself? You ever go off, fly off the handle and get out of control? Ask that question. Why do I do that? What is it that is within me? 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than in he that is in the world. Amen. It is conviction and repentance. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts us, causes us to repent, to turn to God. It's the Holy Spirit that gets on us when we get out of step, we do things we ought not to do. I know he reminds me many times when I get started going the wrong way or thinking the wrong thing or even saying the wrong thing. He reminds me. I say, yes, Lord, I know I should have done that. But he's the one. Now, with every beatitude, as we're going to see, and you saw the last one, there is a reward. The mourner's reward. Relief and consolation within. It's the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Through whatever you difficulty may come with. And I know I can personally confess to when my wife died, the Holy Spirit comforted me through that. He is there. You know through him that your sins are forgiven. You know that you are accepted by God. And you know that you've been saved by God's grace. It is by grace that we've been saved through our faith. It is the comfort of anticipating the second coming of the Christ. We as Christians should be looking for him to come anytime. And as Jesus said, you need to be busy doing his work, because he's going to come like a thief in the night. And you don't want to be caught doing something you not shouldn't be doing. Jonathan Edwards, who was in the Great Awakening years ago and a congregational pastor and first president of Princeton University, one of the things he did when he became a Christian, and he made a bunch of resolutions, and one of them was to live every hour of his life as if it was the last hour. Amen. Yes. It is the comfort of knowing heaven is forever. So I know that's something that's hard to fathom. Forever. Eternity. And think back. God always was, always is, and will always be. Nobody made him. Sometimes it's hard for a little infinite mind to understand, but that's the way it is. Comfort of knowing that you have God's guidance and care now. Not just when you get to heaven, but now. Knowing and feeling that he's with you. He's seeing you through, comforting you. He's the paraclete, the one alongside, the comforter. An explorer who was caught in a bitter cold in the far north, he said, as long as he felt the pain in his feet, he was happy, because he knew when the pain was gone, he was doomed. And I do this sometimes. I'm out working out there in my shop or doing something. If I hit my hand, I haven't hit my hand with a hammer in a long time, but I've hit my hand with a hammer, bang my knee against something, hit my elbow, you know, whatever it is, and I feel some pain. I go, and then I say, thank you, Lord, because I know I'm still living, and I can feel it. It's the same with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When a person is truly sensitive to the Holy Spirit and is sorry for his sins, he can be truly happy. When you lose the sensitivity to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're doomed to a spiritual freeze-out. You become numb and insensitive to any feelings. Do you know that comfort today? Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? And do you know that the Holy Spirit is with you, keeping you, protecting you, and walking with you towards the eternal kingdom? Do you know that today? If not, we sing a 10-minute invitation to come forward. All you have to do is say, yes, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for what I did. But I accept Jesus as my Savior. I believe he died on that cross to forgive me of my sins. I want him to come into my life, forgive me, and be with me, and keep me till the day I go home with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And we know that we need to be mourning, especially over sin, and in particular our own sin, the things that we've done and said we shouldn't have, and to know that those things have broken your heart. But to know that you have forgiven us if we have repented and received your Son Jesus. And we know we can walk freely through the rest of life and eventually into your eternal kingdom. And we pray if anyone here today does not know that or is not sure, that we respond today and come and receive Jesus into their life and to be blessed and eternal kingdom bound. For this we pray in his holy name. Amen.